Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye, a proudly South African multi-commodity mining company. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, transforming towards an empowered society. I'm Adrian Groenewald. Good to be with you. And we have Alison Yandu and Louis Groenewald with us, our usual panel members. Welcome, gents.
How's it, Adrian?
Look forward to your program today.
We're in a new studio, so we're finding our feet here. It's great to be with you. This is our master class, our leadership master class. First half hour, we're going to have a conversation about what kind of South African leader am I? All right, that's the basic essence of our first half hour. A reminder, last week, Alice and I launched our Tuliman Onsela on Leadership ebook. So get yourself a copy on Amazon.com or leadershipplatform.com or candidmedia.co.za. And the Tuli book, it really is just about all the leadership principles we've discussed with her over the years in different interviews. So it's very easy, very cheap. I mean, we want everyone to have it. So let me say it direct. We don't want this to be just for the elite. So please go and download yourself a copy. And then at 12:30, we zoom in on Catherine Constantinides and Simongile Kumalu. They just returned from their Mandela Washington Fellowship trip. We'll find out more about that. I hope I said that correctly. But a fascinating couple of weeks that they spent across, stomping the grounds of the U.S. And in the end also meeting, I guess, they had a town hall meeting with President Obama.
Not Donald Trump. Definitely not Donald Trump.
So we look forward to hearing from them exactly what message did they take there and what message do they bring back and the highs and the lows and pretty much what it was about. So we look forward to that. But the first half hour, let's kick off. The question we're asking is, how do I rate me, myself, as a South African leader? But first, let's say hi. Hi, Catherine, and hi, Simongile.
Hello. Thanks
hi,
for having us.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. You're our first guests in the new studio here at Cliff
Yay.
Central. Since the, call it the merger with Touch Central. So, interesting times. That's the way we have to lead these days. If you don't change permanently, consistently, then you will become null and void. You'll disappear. That's the world we find ourselves in. All right, let's go to the master lesson today. It's something that Louis Groenewald wrote that we're kind of adapting into our conversation. As we look at the many time bombs that are brewing in our country, and there are many, and in fact, not just South Africa, all over the world, but let's look at South Africa. As a leader or a citizen even, an almost ordinary citizen, but let's look at leader, our attitude towards our country becomes an important matter. Are we part of the problem, or are you, I, part of the problem, or part of the solution? Our mindset can be measured by our desires to bring about transformation at every level of our society. In other words, we need to embrace the reality of having to improve and grow the leadership and performance levels in all areas of our country, or else we will pay an awful price at an individual level or a community level. There are probably many ways we can rate our own mindset as a leader in this incredible country. And we propose that we use the big, listen to this, Louis is going to tell us what it is, the big core value question as an effective way to measure your mindset. Okay, so Louis, explain this to us. What is this core value question that you think a leader must ask him or herself?
Ordinary, I think that our two guests and our friend here, Alice, will instinctively respond to what we're talking about now. The more we come in contact with good leaders all over the country, the more we realize that leadership is about personal transformation. In other words, we can claim many ideas to help society, but deep down, the kind of people that are really making a difference have a kind of deep-rooted personal transformation attitude. They're always learning. They're humble, they're receptive, they are principle-based as well. Now, why we use this principle of asking this question, it's a very powerful way to evaluate yourself. and perhaps as we sit here today, we should ask ourselves the question, with what mindset do we go into all situations in life? We've got to review or reestablish our mindset every time we approach a situation? Or is it their simplicity? And big leaders have a simple attitude. Every time I've sat in the presence of great people, especially great spiritual giants I've had opportunity to meet in my life, then there's a simplistic attitude. I can see in the eyes, the expressions, they are there in a positive framework to help me, to help the situation. So the question really then becomes, how can I help move this situation as a leader in a positive direction?
That's the main question.
Yeah.
Because I wonder what kind of questions we ask ourselves when a situation confronts us. Often it is a challenging, difficult situation when you're a leader. By the time it gets to your desk, by the time it arrives before you, it's a problem situation. And the question is, how can I help move the situation in a positive direction? I guess you can ask, how can I move it into a selfish direction? How can I move it into a negative direction? How can I move it into a, I don't know, there could be many, many approaches.
The point is, Arjun, that I find this to be a common factor of people I respond to, the real giants out there, and they are not just the big leaders, they are the tremendous mothers and wives and sons and daughters out there. Now, the affinity I have with Ellis here is because Ellis has an instinctive desire not to be harmful, not to destruct. He's got a strong spiritual base as well. The reason I have such a high regard for my children, Arjun, your specific case, and Al-Marie over there, is I know that they, deep down, they don't want to be part of a negative solution. They want to help where they can. And so often, because we don't understand how this core value drives us, we ask the wrong questions. Bear in mind that, Arjun, that we are driven by the questions we ask, consciously or subconsciously.
All right. So you're not saying that if you're going to be a great South African leader, or leader for that matter, that you consciously necessarily sit down and say, how can I move the situation in a positive direction? You probably think it through in different ways. But in essence, your behavior will demonstrate that you have asked this question subconsciously or consciously. How can I move the situation in a positive direction?
Bear in mind, Arjun, that the question idea is very important. We speak of values, but a value doesn't kick in until you ask yourself the question, how can I apply this value?
Hmm.
In this case, when you start asking the question consciously, it zeroes in, it focuses your thinking in immediately, etc. And you tend to sift out a lot of nonsense that you have to go through before you start asking the right questions.
All right, we talk of the leadership transformational change model that you've written about. And it really says this, the only person that can build my transformational mindset is me. No one's going to build it for me. And the other point is, a person that does not have an affinity for the big transformational mindset question, this question we just discussed, probably does not have an affinity for a transformational behavior mindset. So your behavior won't demonstrate it. And these statements can be interpreted as meaning, if we do not have a committed full-time affinity for this question, then we are part of the problem. So the question then begs, and this is what I would ask, is where are my talents and efforts predominantly channeled towards? And the answer can only be my own self-indulgent aspirations, and I'm probably paying lip service only to the great needs of our broader environment. So if I don't ask, how can I move the situation forward positively? What am I asking indirectly? All right, Catherine Sibongile, your comments on that. What kind of questions must I ask myself as a leader to evaluate what kind of leader am I in South Africa? Now, you were over there. We'll talk in the second half more about your experience over in Washington and New York and across America. But you are definitely two people who are part of the solution. So I cannot see either of you standing back when you're confronted by a situation and not asking, well, how can we move this in a positive direction, my goodness? As opposed to, how can I get the best out of this? Or, I don't know, what other questions people may ask subconsciously. Mm. Comments on this, Catherine, then Sibongile?
I think for me, the important thing is to constantly ask yourself, what kind of leader is it that you're striving to be? Because it's those very core values and that form the foundation of who you are as a leader, the choices that you make, and the answer that you're going to unlock in how do you move a situation forward positively. So for me, I really think it's that constant question of reflecting on who you are and who you want to become and the values that you hold dearest to you as an individual and as a leader, and how do you apply these values in every situation? And I think for me, the important thing is, and sort of the one thing that I've learned as part of my journey, is how do you become deliberate in making sure that those values are evident in every choice that you make, in every solution that you try to find, to every challenge that you're confronted with. So I think it's really important. Sometimes people don't stop and reflect on who they are and who they want to be, and those values that are really critical to answering all the questions that we're faced with every single day. And I think that sometimes because we're living in such a rushed life, we forget that reflection is part of our journey of growth and development as a leader. And if we don't innovate and reflect on who we are and be critical of the kinds of values that we hold dear to us as individuals, we aren't able to be the strong leaders that we need to be in the spaces that we work.
Okay, Simungile.
Very important what Catherine is talking about, and I think what's also important to me, especially when we ask the question, what kind of South African leader am I? I think it's very important to understand that leadership doesn't happen in a vacuum, that it's very contextual, and that as leaders we're responding to the challenges of our society, and in this case the challenges of South Africa. So I think the first thing is to be conscious and aware about the challenges that our society faces, because as leaders we need to be responsive to those. And I think in my leadership journey, and also as part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, two things that I learned that were very important is to have an essential question. What is your essential question? What is your leadership answering to? What are you responding to? And the second thing is, what's your moral imperative, or what's the moral imperative of the actions that you are trying to take to address those challenges that you have identified in society? And I think those are the two things that speak directly to what Louis is talking about asking questions constantly, and being or having this personal transformative attitude, constantly asking questions and responding to them.
Because if you don't, and Catherine alluded to this crazy world we find ourselves in, you'll be hijacked. I mean, before you know it, you'll be making decisions that are not aligned with society's needs, not aligned with your values, not aligned with your moral question, your purpose. Trust me, the world is not going to remind you of those things. You've got to remind yourself all the time. Do you want to respond, and then Alice?
Before Alice speaks, I'm the old man. I get first option. Sorry.
Old is overrated.
both Catherine and Sibigale have mentioned very important preparatory questions you ask yourself. So what I'm saying is, the truth is that it takes so much character to ask this question consistently. The word you used, what is your word? You used it deliberately as well. So therefore, you can't just tonight start asking this question, because you're not in trouble, because your mind is full of other concerns and doubts and frustrations. So these are preparatory questions. So the secret of this, Arjun, is when you ask that question deliberately, what happens is then you are going into a positive framework to make the best of that situation. So your preparatory work's been done, hopefully. So when you walk into any situation, like for instance this conversation, you say, how can I help move this situation in a positive direction? And that changes one's whole attitude as well. You don't start, is it worthwhile? You don't bother with unnecessary garbage, quite frankly, or wastage as well. So those questions you two are mentioning are vital preparatory questions.
I have to, for me to have the discipline and the character to be able to ask that question on a regular basis, I probably have to prepare myself in some way, shape, or form. And the one way would be to always ask, what are my values?
It's a consistent,
what's my moral question? So
consistent nourishment of a situation.
Young man? Alice?
Yeah, I've been deep in thought, just looking and reflecting upon the topic. You talk about, what sort of a leader am I, you know, in the context of South Africa? And, you know, whilst I agree with everything that's been said, I can't help but focus on the, you know, am I part, you know, the me part, you know, what the leader has to ask of themselves or herself, himself. And I think there's a danger there, because, again, we know that as soon as leadership is preoccupied with the me part, you know, the who am I part, you get this engage from the context that I think Spongler referred to. And you also become unprepared, and you then have, I think, the environment sort of imposing upon you to be what you are not most of the time. And on this program, we've talked a lot about authentic leadership, you know. And I'm also thinking that as we sit here, we have a national standoff, you know. I think it would be good to move this conversation into the current context, because, you know, we face the challenges that, you know, we are fully aware what they are almost on a daily basis. So I think we need to look at what the world needs to determine what kind of leaders will be better able to respond to the needs that are there. You know, I think...
National standoff. I think, okay, I think you must expand a bit there. We can all concoct these pictures in our own minds because there's lots of things happening.
Well, what I wanted to say now was that let's think about the words that Albert Einstein once said. He said, a new type of thinking is essential if mankind is to survive and move toward higher levels. Okay. We need to move away from the dualistic thinking of me and them as a leader, or if we're a group in a collective, us and them, you know, and become one in order to confront some of the challenges that we face. But back to the issue of a national standoff, we know that there's paralysis in leadership at the political level, you know. There's 55 million, there's supposed to be 55 million of us, yet we are beholden to six or seven people that sort of seem to hold the reins or hold the country to ransom, so to speak. So the question is, how are we leading in our own capacity to fundamentally, you know, push the conversation to transform ourselves forward as a society and see the leadership that we want? Are we complicit in the standoff? That's the question that I would pose.
I think you're also saying let's bring it back to reality, to today. And here's the issue is if you're Pravin Gordhan or if you're President Zuma, and there seems to be in the media a standoff between you and your finance minister, which obviously there's debates. None of us know the full truth. I would ask myself, how can I move this situation in a positive direction? Because if I'm not asking myself that question, what am I asking myself? I'm looking at it, how can I defend myself? How can I protect myself? How can I get more for myself? How can I, you know, what is the opposite mindset or the different mindset to how can I move the situation in a positive direction? And what determines whether I ask that question or not is my values. How in tune am I to my values or my moral question or my own sense of purpose? If I'm out of tune with that, I'm out of sync, guess what? Then I'm going to be on the defense all the time. I'm going to ask different kind of questions. And especially if you're a president of a flipping country, yeah, everyone looks at you and everyone, everything looks at you and everything points towards you.
Arden, can I just mention an important thought? Ellis mentioned here this, if you don't do it, you're complicit in the standoff. Can I mention the importance? We're not speaking of the fact that people are out there all busy with negative motives. Not necessarily they think they're doing the best. Tuli Marasella keeps on saying this, believe people are doing the best they can, or else they don't. Remember, she's got this in your book as well.
She believes it, yeah.
It's a beautiful principle.
She assumes.
But what I'm saying is, when we get stuck in a mindset that we don't feel we can help move the situation in a positive direction, then we are complicit in that standoff. The standoff says, oh, we can't do much about it. You know, what can we do about that? So this is a different mindset we're speaking about. When you have that attitude, I can move this situation or help move it in a positive direction, whatever the situation may be, then you are cutting yourself from being complicit in the mindset. This is a very important difference in attitude, okay. I feel.
Alice, you wanted to respond, and Catherine Simongile, well, your further thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to say that I think, you know, we've spoken about this in the past, that, you know, we are at a crossroad. I mean, if you look at us as a country, but what is happening in South Africa, I would say, is symptomatic of what's happening around the world, of this greater need for the human species to coalesce around the values that we've not seen over the last centuries. You know, where we live one with the environment, where we are there for each other, you know, where we move away from this materialistic notion and mechanistic thinking. And unfortunately, if you look at, you know, even in the business world, how leaders get to be called leaders, it's a mechanistic way. It doesn't truly look at the intrinsic, you know, aspect of what the person can truly bring in terms of the impact and the change. So I think that's something that, you know, one needs to be quite convinced with.
Yeah, it's something different is institutionalized, and we're letting the structure guide us there, aren't we? And we've had this conversation, and the institution is guiding us as to who should be the next ANC president or the next, you know, company CEO, or as opposed to really, really getting into the intricacy of who this individual is. And can they? And we, with Dr. Brenda Hutton, we've had that conversation also very intensely. Is who, it boils down to who am I? And that's why we're asking the question today. If I don't ask what kind of leader am I, understanding my environment and everything we've said today, you know, if we don't ask these questions consciously. Now, the two of you were overseas. We'll look at that in the second half. But we also, over this weekend, had serious reports about research done about the race issues again in our country. It was on News 24, I think Sunday Times, City Press, I'm not sure. But some results on how race relations are deteriorating, and it's a ticking time bomb in our country. That worries me. Again, I'm saying, are we asking enough as individuals? What am I doing to move the situation forward? Catherine Sibongile, more comments?
Yeah, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is I always start with the premise that people are intrinsically good. So when I ask the questions that I do and I'm confronted with the issues that we are in society, I always think people at their core are good. But we keep using the words ticking time bomb and all of these things that we keep talking about. It almost feels like an elephant in the room. But I think one of the big issues that kind of blew up while we were away was the race question. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is in disagreement with you, Ellis, when you talk about the 2 to 7 people or the rotten apples, I guess, in the bag. But I feel like, you know, people are part of communities and systems, and we can't number 7 people that are rotten in the bag. There's a huge, there's something big that's wrong with the system, that's wrong with the institution. And racism is just kind of coming off at the seams, and it's spilling, and it's showing in those 5 to 7 people. But it shows you that there are huge balls of the system that we're not really dealing with. So I don't think it's those couple of people and the conversation we have to be really brave in confronting.
Look, I totally agree with Sibongile, and it actually what she's saying exactly harks back to something that I've reflected upon, to say, you know, if you look at the transition that this country went through, you know, and the kind of leadership that people like Nelson Mandela gave us, it was to lay a foundation. So the fact that we have schools preoccupied with how the hair of certain people looks rather than teaching these children shows that, you know, we've not built on that foundation. Instead, we've veered off and started building on sand, whereas a sure foundation was laid for us to work together. But I also think we should be careful to not be too alarmist in terms of, you know, ticking time bombs, because there's some good work that's been done in the society. The fact that we could sit here in this sort of diverse, you know, with diverse backgrounds and so forth, and have this conversation, it shows the progress that's been done. But at the fundamental level, again, we have a leadership vacuum, okay, whether it's political or at the civic level or every other strata of society, because, again, of our legacy, you know, politics of the stomach has taken over this country, unfortunately. People have to calculate, if I say this, does it mean I'm not going to get that tender? And that's exactly why you have the standoff today outside Luthuli House. Because people are saying, what faction do I have to associate myself with so that I do not jeopardize potentially my livelihood? But then this is an era or a time for us young people in particular to sort of hold hands and say, you know, we want to go back and build on that foundation that people like the Susulus, the Mandelas, you know, laid for this country. Because this is a great country.
Yeah, you say there's a march to Luthuli House today. Yes, people are disillusioned. We're asking the question, how do I rate me as a South African leader? And of course, we can ask many other questions too. The one we proposed was a mindset that says, when every situation comes your way, you ask, how do I move the situation in a positive direction? And if we had more of this question asked more in our society, we would obviously see more positive solutions. But in fact, people start coming inwardly focused, and they start asking selfish questions. How can I preserve myself and my organization, and rather than a collective improvement.
Who asked the question? Ask not what your country can
JFK.
Do
JFK.
For you,
there you go.
But what you can do for your country. Yeah. So legacy again. I mean, we've just transitioned 22 years, but have not debased our thinking around the fact that politicians would do everything for us. No, I mean, the race issue clearly shows how politics has failed. So us in the communities, in schools, in churches, and so forth, need to work together to continue this experiment. I mean, it's still an experiment until, you know, we reach that nirvana.
That's amen. Catherine Constantinides and Simungile Kumalo in the studio. They just returned from the U.S. on the Mandela Washington Fellowship trip that they were on. We're going to listen to them a little bit more in the second half hour about that. Catherine, more comments on the South African leader that I should be?
I think, you know, coming off of what has just been said and what Sibongile said, I think the important thing is that there is definitely a break in the fabric of society where we do not have morals. We do not have values that we base our decisions on at a very, very grassroots level. I don't know where it happened, but somewhere along the line, we forgot those fundamental values of community, of people, of humanity. And it's that basic, basic level that we need to build upon. And we have lost the understanding that people need to come first, not what am I going to get as a leader in that community. That's just been said. And I think it's that fundamental understanding of what is it, what is the fabric of society saying? What are those values that we as a society stand by? And how do we make sure that we implement morals into our communities? I think that, unfortunately, you know, I was going to give that quote as well, because that was a quote that when we had the afternoon with President Obama, that was one thing that he left us with. And so that exact understanding of what is it that I can do for our society? What is it that we leave behind as a legacy, as young people, as leaders? And I think for me, one of the most important questions that I've come home asking, not a question, but more of a statement, and that is that we need to look around us. Leaders do not just live in history books. They live amongst us. They're the people in our communities that strive to make that community better for everyone else. They're the unsung heroes of our society that actually live next door, that we never pay attention to, but they're the ones that hold society together. And I think that we do have this vacuum that my colleagues have spoken about. This leadership vacuum, though, we need to ask, what are we going to do? What are we as young people in the sphere of influence that we have, what are we doing to push the narrative forward of having the uncomfortable conversations? What are we doing to speak to the person next to us about race? Even though it's an uncomfortable discussion to have, we don't have enough of those. And as South Africans, sometimes we think that uncomfortable discussions linked directly to conflict or anger or protests. We need to get to a place where we're able to have these kinds of conversations in a civilized manner that lead to us respecting an opinion that we don't hold ourselves, but we respect the other opinion, and we hear it, and we actually listen to it. We don't have to agree with everyone that the person next to us says, but we must have the civility of listening to them and allowing a different perspective to cross our own table. And I think that we are so closed in having uncomfortable conversations that we keep on throwing a carpet over a situation that is there. And 22 years into a democracy, there are fundamental flaws of what has not been dealt with as society. And as young people, we have to address those very specific issues such as race, such as diversity, and we have to find ways that we can have conversations that lead to more open-minded people leaving a room, where people are understanding a viewpoint that is not their own, but they understand the person that gave that opinion. Mm-hmm. Because I think as society, as South Africans, when we were abroad, you mentioned it, this race thing sort of sparked in a big way. And being so far away from home and not being directly inside of that bubble of where that was happening, you actually reflect and see different opinions. You see where people are coming from, especially when they come from a very different background to and a different perspective to that of your own. And I think that is such an important lesson. We have to find ways that South Africans can move forward having difficult discussions around things that we have left untapped for 22 years.
And the big question is always, does it fall apart from the bottom up or the top down? Louis, do you want to kind of start helping us wrap this up before we move to the second part of the Leadership Masterclass?
I just want to understand, Arden, every day we have thousands of discussions in our country and there are thousands of transformational experts, every radio shows, etc. But what we learned really deep down is it's a personal thing. And everyone must constantly invigorate their own mindset. When you spoke of meetings and walking out of the meeting, Catherine, when you walk into a meeting with that frame, it's amazing how much good you see in people around you, because you come from an inner peace and passion to do the right thing. And then suddenly you're not threatened by every single voice coming around. You don't throw labels around of racism so easily like our politicians have been doing. And this is so the fortune we have of meet people with that mindset. And they are changing the world around them. We just need to recognize them all and be part of this universal mindset of moving things in a positive direction instead of being motivated by fear.
Alice, just final comment.
Yeah, no, look, I was just going to ask, when is Catherine starting a political party?
Soon, watch this space.
Yeah, I mean, this is fantastic. Again, race issues, I would say they will consistently be with us. It's how we deal with them in terms of building a cohesive, united society. Prejudices will always be there, but some of us need to rise above those to sort of say, show the way and point the direction towards which, you know, our society can become great again. But I think, you know, there's so much apathy now in our society, unfortunately, and indifference. You know, people feel, so what? You know, what's going to change? But it's in those situations where, you know, great leaders and people who become the lodestars, you know, would rise.
I think what helps you rise, and it comes back full circle, the question we ask is, how do I rate me, myself, as a South African leader? And even in the US, I mean, they have their own set of problems. You would have seen it now as an outside perspective, again, being there and ourselves. I mean, they are disillusioned like never before, that nation. They don't know who to vote for necessarily. There's a lot of confusion all over the world. So this is not a South African issue.
But the US, I mean, the difference is that it's more than 200 years old. They've had this experiment for some time. And there's been sparks of ingenuity where you think, wow, we didn't expect it. Obama is the case in point. He was an aberration of history, and so was Mandela to a great extent. But we're talking about a 22 year old experiment, which surely we should be laying the foundation to get things right. I mean, if there's school codes that still say kids cannot have, you know, afros, come on.
Okay, so how many years are the Americans ahead of us? If it's hundreds, then I'm concerned. Is that where we're going to end up a couple of hundred years from now? So I mean, they're not exactly exemplary when it comes to dealing with these issues. And I come back to the same question.
But they have strong institutions, Adrian.
I think we do
too. At least when people fail and the leaders fail, institutions should save the nation.
No, but we've seen this now in South Africa.
But you're seeing institutions are being attacked.
Yeah, but they're succeeding with the constitution as a backup. So maybe we'll learn from them and we'll move on this trajectory faster than the democracies, the stable democracies like America. I hope so. But I mean, they seem, with all this long experiment they've had, they seem to be really confused at the moment, which is the world we're in. Everything is faster and more dynamic. Anyway, we're going to call that to an end, and the next half we're going to talk to our two special guests, Catherine Constantinidis and Sibongile Khumalo. They were in the U.S. recently, and we want to find out what that was about. So stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.